You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Lingfield and Catterick. It's a flat card on the poly track over at Lingfield and we're jumping at Catterick and fingers crossed there'll be an all-hurdle card to come from Bangor as well. They're pending an afternoon inspection on Tuesday. There's also the Irish action from Thurles to get stuck into as well. And we'll be live for every race live from 12:50pm with Ross Briley, John Babb and Chris Pimlott in the Racing Radio studio. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, is Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
Hello, Sam. Yeah, very well, thank you, mate.
The Midlands Mafia have taken over today, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. If you're not a fan of Barry from Have Eater's Own Pet, then I shouldn't listen to the programme, because we could do with subtitles, really, for all our poor listeners who've got to suffer the three from the Midlands Mafia, and, of course, yourself as well. So it's a massive West Midlands bias.
Yeah, we've very much taken over the West Yorkshire studio, Sam. And as indeed, you said, if you don't like the Black Country accent, I'm afraid you're out of luck today.
No, we'll just look at it as preparation for the new series of Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, that's a very good way to look at it. Let's get stuck in some of the news first then, Sam. And another red-letter weekend for Mr. Willie Mullins. Again, plundering prize funds over the other side of the Irish Sea. And, of course, he's been winning plenty of big pots over here. He's still £700,000 behind Paul Nicholls in the Trainers' Championship on the British side of the Irish Sea, Sam. But 10 to 11 each of two now they are for the Trainers' title.
Yeah, really tightened up. And I think it's more with the potential of Willie Mullins to really make inroads into that £700,000, isn't it? Obviously, he's got big runner this weekend, Jack Adam, running at Cheltenham in the Old Cotswold Chase. That could be another £100,000 to the figure. There might be one or two other auxiliary members of the Mullins team coming over as well. So, yeah, he could make further inroads this weekend. And obviously with the Paul Nicholls horses running a little bit quietly, things a little quiet other than the feature weekends. And there's obviously copy required for newspapers and they're trying to build the British Trainers' Championship up into a great big headline. But it's not really, is it? Let's be honest, it's not really that important. It probably matters to two or three people, and those are the people training the horses and the staff that work for them. But for the rest of us, it's just a little bit of a byline. But, you know, it's still interesting to see how it'll go, certainly this weekend as well, with, you know, Mullins looking to, you know, have other big race winners and dominate the racing scene over here as well as, you know, in his own country.
Yeah, and I suppose that price is reflecting the fact that although 700,000 sounds a lot, man, in Mullins could eat that up by Wednesday lunchtime of Cheltenham.
Well, yeah, it could make significant inroads into it, as we say. I mean, obviously, he's got a massive first-day presence as we stand now, 6 or 7 weeks away from the festival. But yeah, a lot could happen in that time, and you know, he's got to get them all there. I suppose they're running out of races for his competitors to produce competition in. This weekend will tell us a lot at Cheltenham. Some nice horses due to run this weekend, some belting races, and obviously, you know, the Mullins team have been running their second and third string in some of our other graded races over here to just probably get a line as to where they are with the novices under sort of fences and hurdles. So it's a fascinating situation, the fact that he is dominating both sides of the Irish Sea, but I'm not sure whether Cheltenham will just go as everybody thinks it will, and you know he'll sweep the board with 4 or 5 winners the first day and carry on dominating through the week. He'll probably have a really good week, obviously, but you know a lot can happen between now and then.
Yeah, it certainly can. A lot of waters go under the bridge before the showpiece in March. Let's move on to matters a little bit closer to hand. You were in the studio yesterday on Monday. There's not always a great deal to take out of Monday racing, but it was a pretty good day yesterday, Sam, and particularly that novice's chase at Kempton, local show going toe-to-toe with One Night in Vienna. That was a cracking finish there.
It was. Obviously, closing ceremony didn't run his race and Padge was unseated early. But funny enough, that didn't decry or diminish the race itself. It was a terrific spectacle with local show just edging out one night in Vienna, and both horses emerged with huge amounts of credit. I thought the second, definitely, if he steps up in trip at Cheltenham and perhaps goes for something like the National Hunt Chase over 4 miles, would be a real contender for that race, given on what we saw yesterday and his career to date over fences. He's a horse that finished second early on in the season to Black Lion round Cheltenham, so he's got experience of the track, and he's going to be an improved horse, I think, once he does step up and tackle a greater test of stamina. Local Show's jumping was superb, as indeed was one night in Vienna's, but Local Show really did set a bold show in front. And the time on the last circuit was significantly better than Rock Dapsis and Galway Jack, who were sort of 130, 135 rated chasers. And even though Local Show and one night in Vienna covered an extra 4 furlongs. So that just tells you, in a two-horse race, effectively, over a trip further than those later on in the card, shows you what they achieve, really, just for novices.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
A piece of form worth following, I think.
Yeah, certainly think so, going into the spring. A hairbreadth is another one to take out of yesterday's action, or should we say a hairbreadth. Was a short price, but justified that favouritism and did it nicely, Sam.
Yeah, I think that race threw up a few more questions than answers, but it probably solidified in Ben Pauling's mind that Hairbreadth is probably a 2 miler rather than a 2 mile 5 horse. He won that race comfortably, but I think that was because there was a lack of contenders or lack of intent almost from his rivals. The contenders that faced him, Midnight Cowboy, he was stepping up in trip as well and was looked after during the race really by Wayne Hutchinson, sort of just held together to get home. And there was three or four nice prospects, the likes of Noble Ned and Mames Horse and even Anita Tribe, who was third, who all look as though they'll improve for the run and get better down the line. A Hairbreadth was more the finished article, and he took advantage of a weak race. But I'd rather see him over a strongly run 2 at Cheltenham in something like the County Hurdle than 2.5 in the conditional jockeys, where that stamina might just get pulled out of him a little bit. He works very well at home, apparently. He's the kind of horse that is going to have a lot of latent speed, so I think 2 miles in the County Hurdle would be perfect.
Yeah, it'd be really good to see him in one of those big handicaps at the festival. Anything else on your mind from Monday's action?
Obviously, who's the horse that won the Novices Hurdle? He beat Quarry Horse by a couple of lengths, but he virtually kicked every hurdle out of the ground. He looks a real baby at the moment. He's really going to have to mature and get his jumping together. His technique's adequate at the moment, no better than that. And if he's going to step up in grade, then that is going to be an area of his game that he's going to have to improve significantly.
Yeah, OK, that about wraps up Monday's action then. We'll move ahead now to look at 4 races on Wednesday. We've got 2 to come from Lingfield and 2 from Catterick. We start with the all-weather action on Lingfield's Polytrack with their 1 o'clock. This is the first race of the day at Lingfield, and it's a handicap over a mile here. We've got 10 runners down for this at Class 5. Talk us through these, Sam.
Yeah, trappy little race. And to be honest, you know, with doubts around 1 or 2 of the jump courses, obviously the all-weather continues to come to the fore. And we get a lot of these sort of handicaps. Kempton, the card is absolutely packed full of real dross, to be honest. But Lingfield at least has got a bit better quality, and this is a 0-75. I've gone with Duke's Meadow, who's a horse that hasn't had a lot of mileage on the clock. Just had 7 runs, managed to win at Chelmsford, a handicap, just a little handicap at 25-1. Nice enough performance. He's gone up £4. He's off a mark of 71 now, but he acquitted himself quite well off that with Stevie Drown on board at Chelmsford over the mile last time out behind Loyalty. That was a strongly run race. Decent speed figure. And Boots and Spurs was third in that race, and has subsequently come out and beat Filber, who nearly set a track record at Suddle the time before. So that form is all starting to tie in quite nicely. Roger Ingram doesn't have a lot of horses this year, but he has a few that his daughter rides, and he's got Duke's Meadow, who looks nicely drawn and facing up to 1 or 2 horses that have, well, they're has-beens, never has-beens, so hopefully he can just improve a little bit and take a hand in the finish here.
OK, then Sam's thoughts on the 1 o'clock at Lingfield. We'll stay at Lingfield then for race number 2 on today's podcast. This is their 3.10, a handicap here over a mile and a quarter. We've got 10 runners down for this Class 2. A good plot on offer here as well, Sam. Nearly £12,000 to the winner, and it's attracted a decent field.
It has. There should be a bit of pace on as well with Aliator in the blinkers, likely to take them along. We've got the twice recent winner, Freud, who runs under a penalty. And Saab, who runs 10 furlongs at Lingfield really well, has got some good speed figures over that trip. Whispering Warrior from a really good stable, who ran at Chelmsford in a good, warm handicap last time, and is probably better suited to Lingfield. But I'm going to go with Franklin D. He's got a slightly awkward box draw in stall 1. he's obviously going to be held up under Jamie Spencer because that's the modus operandi. But he beat Ansab when we last saw him 10 weeks ago in quite a strongly run handicap that's worked out reasonably well. He looked as though he's got a little bit more to come from him in the tank. He's just off a mark now, 93. He went up four for that narrow defeat of Ansab. But he's got one or two really decent runs on the turf as well. And like the selection early on in the day, he's a horse that hasn't got too many miles on the clock, too many convictions. So fingers crossed there can be a bit of improvement to come from him. And Michael Bell, since the turn of the year, his horses are starting to run a little bit better. So hopes are high that he can take a hand in that finish.
OK, Franklin D then for the combination of Michael Bell and Jamie Spencer getting the pick for Sam. We'll go ahead to Catterick now and look at a couple of jumping races. We start with our 225. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 mile and three furlongs. Six runners are down for this class three. What do you make of this bunch?
A nasty little race. I'd imagine that Paul Nassi, he's coming here on the back of two wins, including one over course and distance, would be made favourite here, I would think. There might just be a little bit of value to be had with Tom Kevy, though. He's a horse who's only had three runs for his current stable. He ran over fences first time at Sedgefield, didn't take to them at all, and was pretty awful, which was a surprise, really, because he got pretty decent efforts in Anguillon and Auteuil over fences. So he got a bit of experience, but for some reason he didn't enjoy Sedgefield. Back over hurdles at Carlisle, he shaped with some real promise at 33-1 to only be beaten six lengths by Divine Point. And then he sort of put those runs to good use and ran really well last time out at Haydock, winning a little race there, beating Hainan and Octagon on desperate ground over the brush hurdles, which obviously suited him really well. He's back over the orthodox hurdles here. The ground, if it does deteriorate again, we're supposed to get a real band of rain coming across the northwest and into Yorkshire. That won't be a concern for him. And I just think with Rebecca Menzies' horses in pretty good form at the moment. I think they had a flat winner recently in Zakatal, and a number of their horses have run quite well, including Ascension at Musselburgh. Could be the one to be with Tom Kevy.
OK, Sam's pit then in the 225. We'll go to the final race on today's podcast now, the 335 at Catterick. A handicap chase here over 1 mile, 7.5. We've got seven runners down for this class three, and chances could be handed to quite a few here, Sam.
Yeah, I must admit, this is the one race on the day, really, that's baffled me. Obviously, Nautical Twilight comes here in really good order. Only Fools and Horses could run a lot better than his recent form figures suggest because he's dropping into handicap company. I mean, he tried to mix it with Lammy Surge and was only beaten 15 lengths last time. In the end, I've just plumped for Uno Valoroso, who's bumped into Cloudy Joker, a resurgent Cloudy Joker, on his last two starts. And with Donald McCain's horses enjoying a better time of it at the moment, he might have faced a difficult task. And he's got plenty of experience at Catterick. He's won here as well on soft ground, so he just gets the nod for me. But I really could see any of the five or six of those winning that race.
Yeah, absolutely. Tough race to call. There we are then. Thoughts of Sam Turner ahead of Wednesday's action. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Sam. And I hope you enjoy the action midweek.
So do I. Cheers, Sam.
And remember to join us here on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:50 PM on Wednesday, where we've got all of the action covered for you in the company of Ross Briley, John Babb and Chris Pimlott. We're on the poly track at Lingfield, jumping at Catterick. Fingers crossed that the banger card will stay. And we've also got Irish action from Thurles. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.